are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Development and Events Committee meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Labor Radio, of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. I'm Jamie Partridge, your host this evening, and we're talking with Jamie Partridge, organizer with Communities and Postal Workers United. Hello, Jamie.
Hello,
Jamie. So the Postal Service has certainly been through a rough year. The pandemic has infected a lot of postal workers, leading to understaffing, serious delays. The number of parcels from online shopping has doubled, and the Postal Service lacks parcel sorting machines and warehouse space, compounding the delays. So tell our listeners about what it's been like for postal workers in the past year. Well, as you mentioned, there have been hundreds of postal workers that have died, and that's why we're having a rally and press conference on this Wednesday at on Workers' Memorial Day, which is the April 28th, to commemorate the dead that have died on the yard, on the job in the last year. Yeah, noon at the East Portland Post Office, 1020 Southeast 7th. Yeah, number of infections has been something like 10,000, tens of thousands, and the number of people that have quarantined during this time is over 100,000, and that's out of a workforce of 500,000-600,000. So we're talking a quarter of the workforce out because of infection or quarantine or in many cases childcare, unavailability of schooling or childcare, and workers being forced off the job because of that. So but in many cases, postal management has been responsible for the serious delays and the understaffing that you mentioned, because workforce was not provided with adequate personal protective equipment, a social distancing was not and masking was not enforced in many postal facilities, and social distancing not enforced. Testing was not happening at all, and contact tracing not happening in any systematic way. And then often when there was infection, the workers were not informed. And so, you know, folks were not quarantined, or if they, you know, self-quarantined if they found out about it. And often the workers were not did not have adequate leave, paid leave, to take time if they were sick or needed to quarantine. So therefore, workers were postal workers were going to work sick because, of course, people, you know, have to make a living to pay the rent, put food on the table. And then additionally, of course, there has been no hazard pay. You know, like there have been for some sets of essential workers. And then again, with the rollout of the vaccine, the Postal Service has not had any regularized way of doing that, and many postal workers are still unvaccinated, despite the fact that, you know, in other federal agencies like the military or Veterans Administration or Bureau of Indian Affairs, the vaccines have, you know, spread out throughout the agency across the country. Not so with the Postal Service. Postal workers have been subject to the vagaries of the different states where the, you know, sometimes they were considered frontline workers, sometimes they weren't. Sometimes frontline workers got vaccines early, sometimes, you know, they just now having access. And then there, in some areas, some places, postal management was pressured into bringing health professionals into the facilities to vaccinate people at work. Other places, unions have organized to have health care workers provide the vaccine at their union halls. So been a very mixed bag dealing with this pandemic. And then, of course, what this has caused with this severe understaffing, and again, the there's been a continual problem with understaffing even before the pandemic, and one of the main causes for that understaffing has been the high turnover of what are called non-career employees, that is, this lower tier, one quarter of the workforce that is paid much less and no benefits, and on the letter carrier side, are bounced around from route to route, from station to station, working 10, 12, well, and during the pandemic, 14, 16 hour days. Even 18-hour days and 6 and 7 day weeks, and so the turnover has been, you know, 50% or more, especially during the pandemic. And so the Postal Service has been, you know, has hired 100,000 people during the pandemic, but the number of postal workers has actually gone down, and then. So you've had understaffing, and then the fact that there was such a high volume of parcels that they couldn't fit them all into facilities, so that you had a parcel stacked from floor to ceiling, you know, wall to wall, and they actually got bottlenecked and were not moving in some of these larger facilities. And you had situations in places like Detroit and others where the trucks, the postal trucks, bringing the parcels and mail into facilities were lined up on the street, even for days at a time, and up to 100 trucks in some places waiting to unload their parcels to be processed, and then, you know, to pick up loads to take out. Then you had trucks delivering mail or running parcels and mail from postal processing plants to bouncing around the country because they couldn't, there weren't facilities that could accept the parcels. So when people, saw when they were tracking their parcels that they were staying at, you know, in one facility for weeks at a time, or bouncing around from plant to plant, that was because of lack of space and lack of personnel that actually in some of these processing plants had half of the workforce or less that was needed to process these parcels, to sort them and get them out to the areas where they needed to go. And then, of course, what was happening was that post offices were actually closing. Some places there weren't enough letter carriers to get the mail out, and so they, or clerks to handle the window, that is the lobby, the retail portion of the moving the mail. And so some post offices were actually closed, and some places like New York and Detroit and Chicago and the public was experiencing delayed mail delays, especially during the fall and during the peak season of not receiving mail for weeks at a time, or getting delivered parcels mail that was weeks late. That's what it's been like both for customers and for postal workers, and it's been really horrific for both. And the of course the confidence of the public in the postal service has diminished considerably, and there's been quite a bit of outrage. And then, of course, on the customer side, people were not just not getting their bills; they were also not getting checks, and their payments were not arriving on time. So people were being charged. Well, they don't get their checks; they can't pay their rent; their bills aren't paid on time; they get charged late fees, and of course, people not getting vital medicines, and of course, medical equipment and this sort of thing. And then, small businesses, depending on who depend on shipping and receiving through the mail, hurting because of all this. Well, thanks for that description, Jamie. I understand that also a major source of this service breakdown has been the new Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, who came online in June, a Trump appointee, a crony of the president, a big mega donor for the Republican Party, who was appointed in June, and within a month implemented a what he called a pivot, including removing processing machines and collection boxes, limiting overtime, leaving mail in processing plants and offices while running the trucks on time. Mail delivery times plummeted, and as President Trump promised to refuse pandemic funding in hopes of disrupting vote by mail, he said this straight out, the American people rose up in outrage. And what happened then? Well, what happened then was a tremendous outpouring of support for the Postal Service and in defense of vote by mail, which was a major, of course, method with which Americans had to vote because of the pandemic. And of course, we've always advocated vote by mail in Oregon. We have had vote by mail since the 1990s, and we've perfected it. But a lot of places have not, and so the when it was clear that there were going to be hundreds of millions of over 100 million Americans who were going to vote by mail, and that the president was attempting to prevent that by underfunding the Postal Service, a coalition of organizations called Save the Post, about 300 organizations came together and organized a day of action on August 22nd in 800 locations, that is 800 outside of 800 post offices. And here in the Portland area, 25 different post offices. There were actions, and people basically getting the message online that get out there with your signs to save the post office and protect the vote. And in fact, the following Tuesday, that was on a Saturday, and the following Tuesday, at 300 locations across the country, in a set of actions organized by the American Postal Workers Union. And then the Congress was calling hearings, bringing the Postmaster General up for interrogations, and court orders were filed in over a dozen states reverse this pivot by the Postmaster General. And the postal workers themselves organized and really pitched in to make sure that the vote by mail was successful, and that actually the 99% of ballots were delivered on time. And basically, postal workers delivered democracy. After the election, the delays continued and actually got worse during the holidays. And now in the new year, DeJoy is back at it with the full backing of the Postal Board of Governors, all of whom are appointed by Trump. So the Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, just unveiled his 10-year plan, ironically called Delivering for America. In the name of fiscal responsibility, this 10-year plan, would slow mail delivery, cut retail office hours, close post offices and mail processing plants, and raise prices. Good union jobs would be lost, and critical delivery of medicines, checks, bills, parcels would be delayed. What's up with that? Give us the details, Jamie. Well, the Postmaster General has decided that the Postal Service is about parcels and not mail, and has decided that instead of 1 to 3 day delivery window for delivery of first class mail and periodicals, that would be extended to up to 5 days to deliver the mail, but parcels would be new parcel delivery services, including same day, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day delivery of parcels. And while parcels would be delivered by using aircraft, mail would not. The mail would be trucked. And interestingly, the Postmaster General comes out from the trucking industry, so that's not surprising. But his plan is to open up 45 annexes, postal annexes, which would have new parcel sorting machines. And this is all good, except that the word on the street is that these would be run by not by contractors, not by postal workers, not by well-paid union represented postal workers. And then the there's also a recommendation by the Office of the Inspector General to outsource post offices, that is to close down post offices run by postal workers and open them up in private businesses, like we had with the Staples outsourcing. And basically the plan of that Postmaster General Donahoe had in place back in the 10 years ago, which was to close rural post offices and close mail processing plants, will be reignited or it was suspended after a good deal of pushback from organized communities. And here in Oregon, we managed to stop the closures, and most basically across the country, most of the postal closures, the post office closures, but we did lose hours, like post offices that were running at 8 hours were reduced to 6 hours, to 6 hours reduced to 5 to 4 or even 2 hours a day. And then these mail processing plants we lost. They shut down the Salem mail processing plant, they shut down the Pendleton mail processing plant, almost shut down the Springfield plant, but we managed to get those so-called consolidations stopped a combination of direct action occupations and congressional activity, as well as significant contract campaigns by the Postal Workers Union. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Labor Radio, KBOO Portland. We're talking with Jamie Partridge of Communities and Postal Workers United. KBOO is a non-corporate, community-powered radio which depends on your contributions to stay alive. Become a member. Make a monthly one-time donation at kboo.fm. So, Jamie, over 100 congresspeople have called for DeJoy to be removed, including most of the Oregon delegation. President Biden cannot legally fire DeJoy. Only the Postal Board of Governors can, although Biden has recently nominated three pro-worker, pro-public governors to vacancies on the board. They will not be enough to remove DeJoy. 53 representatives, led by our own Representative Earl Blumenauer, have called on Biden to fire the entire board and replace them with governors who would value affordable, reliable, and timely mail service. And what are the chances that Biden will do that? Well, Jamie, it's a difficult political situation because despite the great leadership by our Representative Earl Blumenauer and Peter DeFazio and others calling on Biden to fire the entire board and replace them with progressive governors who would deal with DeJoy and his nefarious 10-year plan to cut clothes, delay mail, raise prices, automate. There's not enough support, and Biden doesn't seem interested at this point. And unfortunately, the unions are not unified in calling for the removal of DeJoy. So, Jamie, what are rank and file postal workers and your allies doing about this? Well, the Communities and Postal Workers United are organizing a Workers' Memorial Day rally on this Wednesday at noon at the East Portland Post Office at 1020 Southeast 7th. And the theme is Mourn the Dead and Fight to Save the Post Office. And dump DeJoy, oppose the 10-year plan, and support the American Postal Worker Union contract campaign, which is just kicking off their negotiations for good jobs and resulting good service. If we can maintain the jobs and the keep the plants open and the post offices with hours, decent hours, and actually expand and improve and expand the postal service, these so-called financial problems will not only be solved, but the public will get better postal service. So, what we're talking about in terms of improving and expanding postal service is with such things as postal banking. We used to have postal banking in this country from 1911 to 1967, and people had postal savings accounts, and they could do that again. There was, I don't know, 38% of zip codes have no bank. Many Americans are unbanked and have to use predatory check cashing and payday loan outfits for their banking, and which costs exorbitant fees. So postal banking, but also completely replacing the postal vehicle fleet with electric vehicles, and putting in charging stations at every one of the 37 1,000 postal facilities, which could also be used by the public, Wi-Fi hotspots, one-stop government services where people could get, you know, apply for Social Security or...
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Do you miss going to the theater? Looking for some drama? Then tune in for The Strange Case of Nick M., an all-new radio play by Imago Theater on Monday, May 3rd at 10 p.m. Listeners will be taken on Imago's trippy audio